BBC.
Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1 free downloads. Download them all for free at the Radio 1 website.
It's 4 o'clock. I'm Lee, I'm 19, and I'm from Sittingbourne. You might not know this, but I once smudged chocolate into the Queen's carpet. Anyway, now it's time for my favourite show on the radio, Scott Mills!
BBC Radio 1.
The Scott Mills Daily.
I'm at work, like, pretty much all the day from about 9:30 till about 10. So pretty much all the day. Normally start from Chris Moyles and then finish with Zane Lowe. So.
Where do you work?
It's in Chelsea. It's a house in Chelsea.
And what do you do?
Chef.
Oh, a chef in London.
Yeah.
So do you work, you said a house, do you work for an actual famous person?
They are quite famous.
Right.
But I'm not sure, I don't know, I could check my contract really, but I'm not sure if I could probably say it on air. I'm not sure.
That sounds intriguing. I'm not going to ask you to check the contract, so let's carry on.
The Queen doesn't listen to this, by the way, does she? Because I think she'd get quite annoyed.
I think that William and Harry listen to Radio 1. The Queen, not so much, so you're fine. What's your story? How did you manage to put chocolate on the Queen's carpet?
Well, what it was I was serving at a banquet, and after dinner, all the underbutlers have to stand there with trays of truffles.
Where is this? At Buckingham Palace?
At Buckingham Palace, yeah. And I was standing there, and just before she's about to walk in, a truffle on the plate rolled off on the floor. So I thought, oh, great, here we go. So what I did try to do was I tried to roll it, because I thought it was one of those ones that were covered in chocolate. But it wasn't. It was one covered in cocoa. So I tried to roll it behind me, but as I rolled it, it, like, smudged right into a carpet. So I quickly ran off.
I mean, it was an accident, you know?
Yeah, I see, but if she kind of walked past and saw it, I think she'd be a bit annoyed.
Who's put cocoa on my carpet?
Yeah.
Sorry, I keep doing that, and I think it's actually... could I have my head taken off for doing an impression of the Queen? You should know.
After, maybe.
You asked the Queen? How tight are you two? Have you got the Queen's mobile?
No. I have a few other contacts, though.
Really? You're so cryptic, I love it. Got a few other contacts. I like the mystery of you. And thanks very much for introducing the show today.
That's okay. Thanks for calling.
No worries, Lee. Love you, bye.
Love you, bye.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
I was watching The Notebook the other day. Have you seen that film?
No, you gave it to me ages ago. But at the time we were doing the Chris Moyles show and you said to me, do not watch it when you've got up early because...
No, absolutely not.
It's not a film. If you're a little bit tired and emotionalist, this is not the film for you.
You need to be of complete stable mind to be able to watch this film. Unless, like Mel, who's working on the show today, she says sometimes, you know when you've been like going out a lot or like you've been to a festival weekend and sometimes you just feel a bit like, oh, I want to hide from the world... Watch that and you'll just get it all out. You will cry and cry and cry and then you'll be absolutely fine when you go back to work on Monday morning.
Okay, so it's like Sunday night type film.
Yeah, it kind of is. Okay. And I never cry at films, or rarely, but I do not believe there is a person in this world who would not cry at The Notebook. Even Chris.
No,
let me check.
Should
this
we
challenge.
Watch it together, Chris?
Yes. Can we all watch it? Or would that be awkward if we're all crying?
Well, if you're crying and me and Chris are like, oh...
Yeah, that would be awkward.
Yeah.
But it makes you cry in this way. You know, the shallow
Does
breathing? The
it
shallow
must
breathing
be really
cry.
It's really emotional.
It really is, especially at the end. I won't spoil it for you. But I think we should have a group session where we all watch The Notebook together. Now, Chris, the reason that you're frowning about this and going, not keen, is because you're scared that you will cry. That's what it is.
I just don't think that's going to happen.
Well, I do. I think it is. You know.
Have you cried at any films before, Chris?
The only place I've ever cried is at the football.
Right, but so never a movie has inspired you to cry.
Never a film.
This will happen. What about Titanic?
No, I was all right.
Not even a.
What about Lion King?
I think I was all right with Lion King. I haven't done that for years, though.
Well, you're cold as ice, then, aren't you?
Well,
anyway, I think we need to arrange a time quite soon when we all sit down and watch it together because it is sad, really sad. What I also noticed at the start of the movie is that, this is not ruining any plot, by the way, there's a couple in it who go on a date and they go to the cinema with another couple. Now, the new couple just kind of sit there awkwardly because it's their first date. The other couple, who've known each other for a while, are proper getting off with each other in the cinema. And this was set in the 1940s. Now, I've been to the cinema quite a lot lately, and I can't remember ever, and I mean ever, seeing anybody kissing, or as my grandparents would have called it, necking. In the cinema. Have you ever seen that happen? I've heard my mum and stuff, and my nan back in the day talk about, all, you know, in the back row. Does that actually ever happen? Right, well, I found this song, okay? So that film was set in the 40s when they were getting off with each other in cinema. They were still necking in the 70s.
Oh, don't stop saying it! Will you stop saying it? It went out of fashion for a reason.
Necking.
No, it's horrible.
In the 70s, they were still doing it, and this band called The Drifters made a song about it. Listen.
Kissing in the back row of the movies on a Saturday night with you. Yeah. Holding hands together, you and I. Holding hands together, yeah.
Necking. Be weird, the cleaners are coming. Radio 1. Right, so they were still doing it in the 70s because they did a whole song about it. I've never seen it. And I would like to know if any of our listeners...
Have you never snogged someone in a cinema?
No, never.
I have. Chris, you must have.
Yeah, I once went to the back row of the cinema, but I ended up in amongst it, in amongst a load of rude boys, and it was just like... it's all gone wrong.
Not in the cinema. A bit of necking's fine. You don't want to be amongst it. Oh, my God, that's completely different.
It's all fine.
Do you think it's... Right, bring it back, bring it back, bring it back. Do you think it's because maybe the cinema's too expensive now? That could be it. Do you reckon it was just a place to go because they had nowhere else to go? I think maybe it is. And also, does it kind of depend what film is on the screen? For instance, I don't want to be necking during The Iron Lady. You know? I think it depends what film it is. Like... If anybody has done this recently, like how long ago were you getting amongst it?
Oh, that was...
how long ago? How old were you?
No, that would have been probably about 5 years ago.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so not that long. No, not that long, though. Because I've never seen it. When was yours?
Oh, I don't know. Like 10 years ago?
Right, okay. So when did it stop? Just anyone let me know, please, because I'm fascinated to find out.
BBC Radio 1.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Right, apparently there's an even name for this. PGA, Potential Guest Action. This is from Mark in Manchester that used to work in a cinema. There's an actual name for
it. What, so they suss you out as you're on your way in?
Yeah, they're definitely a PGA. That's going to happen. I think what happens at the cinema, the reason I've never seen any necking...
Stop saying that.
...is because I sit too far forward. I go quite near the front, so it's obviously all going on behind me. Next time I go, I'll be like uber paranoid, like, oh, to the left. Oh, yeah, they're at it. Oh, to the right. Seriously, though, who gets off with someone during Kung Fu Panda 2? And Paranormal Activity seems to be quite a popular one to have a neck to as well.
Please.
This is all news to me.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
Had a stressful day. Here's your chance to forget about it. Sit back, relax, and immerse yourself in more stories from my friend Chris's autobiography. It's Thursday's edition of 24 Years at the Tap End. What's happening?
I thought we'd go to the 10th year at the Tap End today, if you're keen.
Keen. Set the scene as to what you were like in the 10th year at the Tap End.
Well, 10th year was year 5, back in my primary school at Cannon Lane in Pinner.
Yeah.
So I was just doing my thing, as it any year 5 would do.
Were you good at school?
I was, yeah. Generally, I was good. I never really got in massive trouble. Had the odd sort of scuffles with the law, but nothing major.
The odd scuffle with the law?
That sounds quite major to me.
Yeah, I don't mean law, I just mean teachers. Right. Generally, I was quite good.
I was really good at school. I was a proper geek. And then I just couldn't be bothered for the last 2 years.
Well, year 5 and year 6?
Yeah. And then that's when the hedgehog thing happened.
Oh, yes.
I don't want to go back through that again because... I am seeing somebody about that, and it's painful to talk about. Anyway, I'm not proud. It's time for Tap End, starting now. Let's go.
Ready?
Ready. Ready.
Towards the end of year five, school got a lot more relaxed. Teachers had their eyes set on the summer holidays, with most lesson plans revolving around watching videos or making posters for any given subject. To be fair, there was a lot to make posters for this year, including an event we had spent the last 8 weeks learning country dancing for in PE. I remember having an argument with my teacher that country dancing shouldn't count as PE, but she insisted we did it.
I used to hate country dancing.
Did you do it as well?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did it. I just thought it was a Somerset thing.
No,
like
it was always on.
Thing.
No, we were doing it.
Prancing really... about like idiots.
You had to do that. You had to kind of dance round people.
Yeah. And dozy, do your partners.
That was it, yeah.
Like, when is that ever going to come in useful in your life? Ever?
Well, if you need to get around someone in the pavement who's blocking your way or not walking fast enough, you can dozy-do them quickly.
Okay, I have that. But what else?
You're doing the dance for sport relief.
I am, yeah.
You could have boshed it then.
No, that doesn't help me in any way.
Are you and Ollie Mears doing the do-si-do?
No, we are not. It's very different to that.
We were to perform our country dancing skills at an upper school assembly scheduled for towards the end of the year. We also had our sports day and our school fair on the way, both events deemed worthy of creating posters for. Country dancing was massively long. Generally, the lads were reluctant to hold girls' hands during all the routines, and the songs were awful.
So have you got some of the songs?
I've managed to find some of these songs that,
was that
we used
because
to have
you,
to listen to.
Did you remember them, or did you actually have them in your collection?
No, you just sort of Google country dancing, and eventually you come across them.
All right, here it is, then.
On the ring. Swing in the middle. Circle six.
This isn't from your school, I take it.
No, I don't know this guy.
Right.
To your corner, do-si-do. Do-si-do, your partner.
As I say, once again, you live in northwest London. What is the point?
Yeah.
You could have done some, like, kind of street dance or something.
But he shouts out stuff. Well, no, this was way before diversity and stuff like that. And people, you know, dance troops and Britain's Got Talent. This
yeah, but there was still street dancing then.
Was there?
Yeah. It did exist before Britain's Got Talent, I understand. In places like America.
Didn't know that.
Yeah.
So there's a bloke in the middle who just sort of shouts words like do-si-do and circle of six.
Do-si-do, your partner.
There he is.
Yeah. I can't remember what a do-si-do is.
You have to like, fold your arms, isn't it? And then kind of go round the other person.
Don't you like go round their back?
What, back it up?
No, not...
Not like not, a Tonka truck, no.
No, not Pitbull. You go round like... Oh, I've got no idea.
I know the one you mean, the one where you fold your arms like
yeah.
that.
That's what I just said.
And then it's like round the person and back.
Yeah. That's yeah. It, yeah.
Grand chain. All the way.
What's a grand chain?
Yeah, I don't know.
First couple, dance down. Give them a clap.
Oh, they're doing the arches at this point with their hands.
Yes, probably.
And back. Cast. Right and left through.
The only time I've ever seen that since is at bad weddings.
Yeah. You never see it in nightclubs, do you?
No.
Would you not be tempted to do this on your next gig?
No. Oh, let's go down Oceania tonight. I fancy doing the do-si-do. It doesn't happen, does it?
It doesn't, but it should. Everyone knows the skills. One PE lesson, me and my mates all claimed we had forgotten to bring our PE kit in. We hid them in the bushes outside our classroom huts. But the teacher clocked our plan and threatened us with a PE lesson where we would just have to wear vest and pants.
Oh, the old classic.
None of us were keen on this, so collected our PE kits from outside for some more country dancing.
Did anyone actually have to ever do PE in vest and pants?
I don't think so, it was just an empty threat.
I did.
Did you?
I once had to do vest and pants,
yeah. Wasn't there a spare kit box where you had to wear, like...
There was, but I think in the earlier years, I did have to do vest and pants.
Because I'm sure you could say that you could take them to some court of appeal and say that that was against your human rights.
You could now. You could now, but human rights weren't on when we were at school.
Yeah, in year four and five, human rights weren't that important to me.
It's the same as health and safety. It's gone crazy, in my opinion. Yeah. No one cared about our safety.
The world's gone mad. To be fair, the concert 8 weeks later was a good laugh. The hall was packed with parents. It was a lively atmosphere, and it was relatively successful. It was a generally flawless performance from me, apart from the bit where I got a bit excited during one move. I had to swing my partner round and round, and accidentally swung Jessica a bit too hard, let go and watched her stack it into the crowd. The tears weren't ideal, but definitely didn't ruin my moment of glory.
Was she all right?
She was fine, yeah. I think her pride was dented more than anything. Apart from anything, the lads were quite impressed with that move at the concert, as they thought I had done it on purpose. I hadn't, but all the same, it earned me a few Year 5 lad points. This year was the middle ground between me hating girls and saying I was never going to get married to me actually quite liking a couple of the girls. Kiss chase was a regular playground sport, and I've got to be honest, every now and then I would slow down when on the run to allow the girl I quite liked to catch me.
What, like it was in, what, in slow motion off of films?
Yeah, so even though everyone's running away, the name of the game was to get kissed.
You can't do that subtly, though, can you?
What, sort of slowly jog down?
Yeah.
Yeah, it probably looked a bit silly, to be honest, didn't it? It was a game that was big back in my primary school at Cannon Lane, but one of those that, after primary school, never gets played. It's one of those games that, given the right funding and support, could have become an Olympic sport.
What, kiss chase?
Yeah, think about it. That would be epic.
And here comes up Chris Stark now for the 100-metre kiss chase.
What, and then, great. What, set him off like a hare at the
in the traps.
Dog race?
Yes,
and
great
then all
idea.
The girls come out afterwards trying to get him?
Or the girl...
How does it work? I can't work it
out. Or the girl could be the hare, so she's released.
No, that's just weird.
Come out of the traps.
Run!
Another event deemed poster-worthy was the forthcoming sports day at my school. Our middle school was split into four teams, four different colours based on the four different houses. We used to have houses at our school, named after people I didn't know. I was in Turner, who I have since learned was an artist. I've heard that some schools have banned sports day now, or create events where no one can be deemed to have lost. But in my sports day, it was all about the competition.
Yeah, and I was always the loser.
Nothing wrong with that.
Were there any sports that you were good at?
Yes, long jump, but only as a fluke.
Oh, I didn't like that. You used to find all sorts of stuff in that sandpit.
Yeah, but I was the person that never got picked. And then they were like, oh, God, I suppose you've got Scott Mills. Yeah, oof, last one. And then I was surprisingly good. And I was the king of long jump for that whole hour lesson. And then I tried to do it again 2 weeks later. Couldn't do it. It was just a fluke. But I felt like an amazing... I was never good at sport. So I was like, yes, I'm the king.
Yeah, good on you.
Thanks.
There's nothing wrong with losing. I've been a loser for much of my life. As a Watford fan, I'm used to losing on a weekly basis. But I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Sports day should be all about competition. I was entered in the 100-metre sprint and a proper old-school egg and spoon race. I knew I was going to be racing Andrew Robinson from another class in the 100 metres, and he was well quick. But I was looking forward to giving him a good challenge. Sports day was well exciting. The entire school lined up next to the track, which was drawn out on the grass on the field. My little brother was in the crowd. I was really hyped. The egg and spoon race was first and was a good laugh. It's not really a serious event, though.
No, really?
There's always at least one joker, in this case Harry Ganesh, who'd put a sneaky thumb on it. On the egg, I mean.
Oh.
So he was running with thumb on egg on spoon.
Oh, cheating. Right. I was like, if you're going to draw anything on an egg, draw a face. Why are you drawing a thumb on it?
Or a, you know.
Do you do that?
What?
Have you ever done that?
Yeah.
Why would you draw that on an egg?
Who hasn't done that?
On Me? The egg?
Yeah, it just makes breakfast time more exciting.
Oh, what? You don't really.
I can see if you draw boobs out of two eggs.
Just like I have done. Just being honest. I thought everyone had done that.
No!
This is a revelation.
Oh, my God, I hate to think what your egg cup is.
Teachers would shout, but they were largely powerless. I came a respectable third. The 100 metres, though, I took seriously. I lined up at the start. Andrew was a couple of lanes to the side. The starter gun went off, and we all went for it. Everyone watching on the sides was cheering. Everyone in yellow from Turner House were cheering for me. It was a great feeling. Me and Andrew were ahead of the others. I was flying and I just edged ahead. We crashed through the finish line and a mum helping out came up and handed me the second place rosette. Andrew was given the first. It wasn't right. Oh. I could have sworn I was first. I didn't moan though. I accepted second but have always secretly wanted a rematch. It's probably a million to one chance, but if you're reading this, Andrew Robinson, and are keen on a rematch, get in touch.
Do you really think you were robbed, or is this just you being Chris and thinking that, no, oh, I want a rematch?
No, no, no.
I could beat him this time.
I don't want to be a bad sport, but I honestly thought I won that. And the people who were judging it were just mums on the finish line. They weren't standing on the side of the line watching it.
So you truly believe that you won and Andrew was second?
Yeah.
To this day?
Yeah, I do.
All right, well, Andrew, if you're listening or reading the book when it comes out, then do get in touch. Let's put it to the test. And me and Becky can be the mums on the side.
That's a good idea. Maybe we can do outside work.
Yeah.
It's a shame that you learn all these sports day events at a young age, but then after primary school, you never compete in them again. There's loads of stuff that post-primary school could have been competed for in the Olympics later this year. Our country would smash the sack race or the egg and spoon this year if the Olympic organisers had thought about it. Easy golds. And I could have become an Olympic champion had life given me the chance. And there we go.
That's very good.
I just think our country misses a trick. Do you know what I mean? Because our whole generation of youth have been brought up on sports day events.
Mm.
So why don't we do them in the Olympics?
Because I doubt they have egg and spoon in, like, Japan. So therefore we've got an advantage.
Exactly.
See what you mean?
So when we're hosting them, we should be thinking egg and spoon, sack race, throwing beanbags.
Three-legged race?
Three-legged race.
Yeah, we'd ace that, wouldn't we?
Yeah. But we could have, in this studio here, a GB team, a successful GB team.
Well, she's got tug of war sorted.
Yeah.
I could do long jump. Well, no, actually, that's not right, is it? Because they're already on. Right, let's just leave.
Oh, my God, so you're... Is it too late to enter you, or are you saying...
I'm sorry?
You're saying you could do long jump, then go for it.
No, forget that. Let's stick to egg and spoon. Egg and spoon all the way.
The Scott Mills Daily.
OK, then. It's all about Dear Scott on Thursdays on this show. We get the posh Radio 4 lady to read out the stuff that you have been saying to us this week. I love it, me.
Dear Scott, Becky, PR4L, Chris, the one who doesn't speak, etc. My mum got an Archer's calendar for Christmas.
Wow, that's pretty impressive. This is our favourite soap opera on Radio 4, where Go On Pigs initially came from. That's where it comes from.
Today we noticed that on Thursday it's Tony Archer's birthday. Push him along, Tony. We thought you might want to wish him a happy birthday. Love from Maisie, 12, and Poppy, 17. P.S. Go on, pigs! Winking smiley.
I love it when the PR4L says it.
So, Thursday, that's today.
Yeah, so happy birthday.
Yeah.
Tony. Push him along, Tony! I wonder what he's doing. Do you think he's just...
He's out with the stragglers and Roy or whatever.
Yeah. Nice bunch of wieners. Happy birthday, Tony, off of Push Him Along. Next.
Does Chris actually have a job? Or does he just sit at his computer, surfing, and when he finds something cool, he calls you for money? Mallory, 14, Oxford.
What have you got to say to that, Chris?
Spot on, really, isn't it?
Yeah. I like that you brought surfing back as a word the other day. Bit of surfing on the interweb.
He's a silver surfer.
He's 24, yeah. Sorry.
He's a young silver surfer.
No, but you are a silver surfer now, because what happened the other day? Yeah. Come on, get involved with this.
Well, I found one grey hair.
And he's so excited.
I'm kind of proud of it.
Really?
Yeah, why not?
I got a text from...
No, I just can't believe you've got a grey hair. I haven't got a grey hair yet. Should I be worried?
I got a text from him going, just found a grey hair, Millsy. Quality.
Whereabouts was it? Or...
Just on the head, Becky.
Oh, right.
Very good.
But it means that hopefully I'll stop getting ID'd for lottery tickets. So that's good news.
Which he does at the moment.
Yeah.
So that's why I think most people are filled with dread when they find a grey hair. But for him, he's like, yes, get in. So you are a silver surfer.
I'm surprised you haven't tied a little ribbon round it to draw more attention, because I can't say I've noticed it.
You won't find it in there, will you? You wouldn't. I wouldn't want to try. Next.
Dear Scott, recently in my English lesson, I had to make up a news report about anything I want. I've decided to make up a story that you got kidnapped from the Radio 1 studios by Trevor Nelson, and Chris Moyles was the witness of this crime.
Why?
Well, they said
there's
it could
so
be...
many questions. Yeah, but if you can have anything you want, why would you make? Why would you do that?
I don't know, because you can let your imagination run free, can't you?
This is produced in a form of an actual newspaper article. I'm hoping that you and your team will enjoy it. It's good, and I think I can make it a worldwide trending hashtag on Twitter. So please sit back, relax, and enjoy the story. Hubert from Bedford.
So, are we going to read this out, reenact it?
I think we should. Okay, so here is the headline. Thanks for sending us this, Hubert.
Our suspicious capturing in the Radio 1 studios.
And here is the fake scenario that he has written. And I guess he'll get marks for this, will he? Probably.
Yeah.
Okay, here goes.
On Tuesday, the 24th of January 2012, a horrific event took place. An event that Radio 1 and One Extra will remember forever. At 1pm, when Scott Mills was working in his studio preparing the material for his popular radio show, this act of heartless crime occurred, as witnessed by Christopher Moyles.
I was sitting next to him when this happened,
says Chris Moyles, crying to our BBC News correspondent. He then goes on to say,
I can't believe somebody would do something like this, a pure act of disloyalty to the BBC.
This unexpected incident occurred very suddenly, as the studio door was destroyed by an explosive substance and a smoke grenade was thrown.
All I can remember before I lost consciousness was being pulled out of the studio by Trevor Nelson, who I later found out was involved in the disgraceful conspiracy from the start,
describes Mr. Moyles. Later that day, Chris Moyles found a note on his desk stating,
if you want to see Scott Mills again, a ransom of £65,000 will have to be paid, which I'm sure you can afford.
Chris Moyles told the BBC correspondent that he was devastated, and after reading this note, he was horrified. No one has seen or heard from Scott Mills for 6 days since this traumatic capturing took place.
Oh yeah, and that's all from the depths of Hubert's mind.
P.S. Please read this after you've checked out the article. Oh. Westwood was the main man involved in the crime, together with Trevor Nelson.
No.
However, I forgot to mention him in the first part. If you and the presenters included, listeners and your team will enjoy it, I can always do a follow-up.
Well, that was great. I really enjoyed that. I don't know, where does that even come from in your head?
I quite liked it that the figure placed on your head was £65,000.
Yeah, which I'm sure he could afford.
Did you think you were worth a bit more than that?
I'm all right with that.
Maybe.
Next.
Dear Scott, glad you like my barley. Adam Henson.
Oh, that was...
Oh, this is from yesterday.
Adam, off of Country File, is it?
Yeah, let me see if I can find a bit quickly. Hang on.
Now, if you've been watching Country File, I know a lot of our listeners do, mainly because their mum and dads are watching it, you'll know that Adam was on the show the other day and he took his barley, which he is very proud of.
It went on a right proper adventure.
Took it on holiday with him. To Germany.
He took it up the Rhine.
On a boat. And they had a lovely time, Adam and his barley. If you missed it...
Over to the Cotswolds now, where Adam's discovering why his barley is the toast of drinkers across the world.
Barley. Barley. Barley.
Barley.
Malting barley for making beer.
Barley, barley. Barley cutters of mine.
Adam's following his barley to the great brewing houses of Germany.
The Germans need the barley.
Barley on farms, bed of barley.
At Rotterdam, the barley will be transferred to a river barge on the Rhine.
Barley, barley. Barley.
A whole barge worth of barley.
Barley, barley.
Barley begins barley.
Barley.
Malt.
This ship is being loaded with 3,750 tonnes of barley, and some of it's mine.
My barley's on board.
Barley from my little old farm in the Cotswolds.
So, along with
my barley,
the barley from my farm.
It takes a week for my barley to cross the channel, then come up the Rhine.
Taking my barley to the malting house.
It's just been incredible joining my barley.
The final destination for my barley. I sold my barley for £200 a tonne. Barley's now gravity-fed through a network of pipes.
Barley.
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 It's been really fascinating following my barley.
Barley. Barley.
Barley. Malt.
Barley.
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 Malt.
Yes.
Barley.
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 Love your barley, Adam.
Barley.
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 One more time. I enjoyed that very much, so nice to relive that again. All happens on Countryfire when you're not watching, doesn't it? Next.
Dear Scott, last week I had to do a presentation on a hip-hop artist for my music lesson. Is it weird that I did Sir Dossa? I didn't get a very high mark. Love you, bye. Rachel, 13, Leamington Spa, XO.
Oh, bless you, Rachel.
Rachel, I wasn't laughing at you. I was laughing at the fact that Sir Dossa was actually good at hip-hop.
You've got some of the biggest hip-hop artists in the world. You've got Jay-Z, you've got Kanye West, you've got Eminem. You chose Chris's friend, Sir Dossa. The one that did Bish Bash Bosh.
Because I'm a pleasant chap. Enjoy a few berries and a bit of a Think it's your lucky day. Well, it's not.
One of the greatest greatest rappers of all time.
Unfortunately, that chat is not going to be dropped. Save it for a rainy day. And then, Kaye, Sir Dossa brights up the day. Bish
Still makes me gets me every time. I'm sorry you didn't get a very good mark, but don't choose Sir Dossa again, please. The Scott Mills Daily. Earlier, I was saying that, you know, on those shows like Strictly Come Dancing and Dancing on Ice, where you have like a celebrity and then they have their dance partner. You can see sometimes the on-screen chemistry and they do get properly close. Even though both of them may be in relationships, when they're actually dancing together and when you see the little videos of them in rehearsal and then when they're getting the actual the kind of results and the scores from the judges, they hug a bit and they just kind of look into each other's eyes. And I was saying earlier how now I can really see how that would happen and how you do become close to your dance partner.
Do you feel like you're in Dirty Dancing?
Not so much, no. And I just said earlier that I can see how it would happen because I'm being taught how to dance at the moment by a nice lady pretty much every day because me and Ollie Mers are doing Let's Dance for Sport Relief in a couple of weeks. I may have mentioned it. And, you know, we are having a lot of fun. She's teaching me a new skill. And all I said was that I can see how sometimes on those shows how people can fall in love or become very, very close to their dance teacher. I've had an email about this from someone called Tamar, who is in America. Can I just read this to you? Okay. So, obviously, not saying anything by it, just that she's a lovely girl, we're getting on well, you know, and maybe I have a little bit of a slight crush on her, that's all, because we're spending a lot of time together.
Why are you clicking your fingers? Is that a secret message to her? Was that like, I love you?
No, it isn't.
No?
Three clicks.
When you talk about her, when you say her name, your face just lights up and your eyes go all sparkly and you can't stop grinning.
She's just real
but
nice.
But apart from that, I think you're just friends.
Yeah, we are just friends. She's got a boyfriend. It's all absolutely fine.
He'll be there next time you go for your training, I expect.
Oi, leave it out.
Yeah.
Dear Scott, I was just listening to you talk about your dance teacher, and we in the social dance world are very familiar with the concept of a dance crush. It can't not happen when you have that great connection with someone on the dance floor, and even more when you're in a learning environment. Don't worry though, it has nothing to do with what the person is like in a real relationship. Dance crushes are harmless and fun, but be careful. Don't see it for more than what it is. You don't really know this girl. You only know what she's like in this one situation. Love you, bye. Tamar. And then it says, if you want to call to talk this through, it'll be a pricey call because I'm in the US. I'm absolutely fine, Tamar. You don't need to worry. I think you're taking it more serious than I am, maybe. I guess you're just worried about me, and I appreciate that.
He just doesn't want you to get hurt.
I'm not going to get hurt. I won't see her again after 2 weeks.
Yeah, but that's what they all say. I can see it in your eyes that you like.
No,
you really like her.
Absolutely.
And you're saying, oh, it means nothing, but actually...
Not in that way. Yeah, we're going to make it real awkward next time we see each other, which is tomorrow. Good. That's right, Helen. That's for you, Helen. You know what the three clicks mean? We discussed it earlier.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
Ben Mundy's got entertainment. What have you got for us tonight?
How's this for a statement? Nicki Minaj is going to make a film. You may have watched her performance at the Grammys earlier this week or seen the photos. She was the one wearing a massive crimson cloak accessorised with a priest, as you do. Her performance was a Gaga-style production, which left many people confused about what it was all about. Nicki's tried to explain.
Well, you know how people write plays and movies? That's what I did. I wrote that and I gave the world a tiny little preview of what was to come.
Anyone? Right. Anyone? No?
No, still not really any clearer.
Basically, she's making Nicki Minaj the movie. She's had another go at explaining.
This is going to be a long entire movie, and a part of the movie is going to take place in a monastery. So I was giving people a sneak peek of the movie. I don't know what is the big issue, because we watch movies all the time. That's where we got it from, the exorcism.
Right, I have no idea what she's on about.
No,
absolutely.
Move on, come on. Maybe Nicki could pick up some acting tips from this guy.
What? I'm Nicolas Cage. I'm an actor. I'm an American actor. I'm in England at the moment.
Excellent. He was here a few weeks ago, actually, to discuss his latest movie, Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance, which is out this weekend. To start with, Nick wanted to make clear this isn't really Ghost Rider 2. This film is its own entity. You see, he never actually played the Ghost Rider in the first movie back in 2007. That was all a stuntman. So Nick took it on for this, and by wearing certain things on set, seriously got into the role.
It was like an Afro-Caribbean face paint that I would put on, and I would black out my eyes with contact lenses and gather things together to wear in my wardrobe, like a bit of Egyptian artifacts from a pyramid, or... And I would sew them in or get some rocks together that had a frequency in the New Age community. Whether they work or not, or you believe it or not, if you're an actor and you give yourself over to it, it can stimulate your imagination and your psyche to believe you're the Ghost Rider.
I could listen to his voice all day.
Good impression. Really good. So he is Ghost Rider then. Real family fun vibe on set, apparently.
I would walk on the set looking like that. I wouldn't say a word to anybody. And so I saw the fear in, you know, the other actors' eyes, and that only inspired me more to believe I was this spirit from another dimension.
I'm going to go to sleep now, guys. Bye.
You can read more about it. I thought you actually had drifted off. There's more on that on the Newsbeat website.
I've actually seen that film. He's very good in it, and he does his scary eyes like he always does. You know the Nicolas Cage scary eyes? But that. Obviously not great on radio, but you get the idea.
Now, if you were watching Dancing on Ice on Sunday night, you would have seen actress Jennifer Ellison have an on-screen accident.
That's why I can't watch it. It stresses me out.
I quite like watching it for that reason.
No, I can't watch it. Honestly, it brings me out in a sweat. I cannot watch, because ice skating scares me anyway. It's my thing. It's my big thing. But it's also the fear that someone's going to get hurt.
But it's okay, like, when you're just dancing with one other person on the ice. It's when you go on a Friday night and you fall over and there's the risk of someone going over your fingers.
That's why I don't like it.
Right, okay, well, anyway, back to Sunday night. During something called the scorpion kick in her routine, she managed to kick herself in her own head with her skate. Yes, not good. She finished the performance but had to have the cut on her head treated backstage. Judge Louis Spence was full of sympathy.
Oh my God, could you believe that? I've not scored her low, but you know, I've been quite critical of her. Like I said, you know, you need to give us a bit more, you need to just really let yourself go. Well, she certainly let herself go, darling. She nearly decapitated herself. I thought, well, that's letting yourself go, love. But no, she was fine. She went off stage with like a very bloody head and threw up, but then like a true pro come back on.
Oh, see, Becky couldn't watch that either. No. It's being sick.
Oh.
Two worst things.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Oh, I can't wait for the Wonder Years tomorrow. You know how I always put a little random one in there these days? It can be something that I'm not generally sure is 100% going to work.
What is it?
Tomorrow. And I think it'll sound good. I'll give you a clue. Enter!
Yes.
Boom. When was the last time you heard Mystique on Radio 1, eh?
Earlier today, did Greg play it? Yeah.
Mystique?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
He was talking for like 20 minutes about Mystique.
Right, I'm going.
I didn't get in the 10-minute takeover, I can't remember, but he was urging people to vote for it. Right, and well, text
thanks,
in.
Thanks everyone for weighing on my bonfire.
Would you prefer... Sorry, should I have lied to you?
Put my coat on now.
I'm in an awkward situation now.
Hang on.
Don't...
I'm going.
You still got 10 more minutes.
No, I don't care. Right, that was my big moment tomorrow. And then
Who did that? Was it Greg's fault? He wouldn't play Mystique willy-nilly,
well,
would he?
He didn't do it maliciously. He didn't, like, go through your book and then find out that you've scheduled it and then...
Which one was it? Can we find out? Right, so... I was that excited about it. That, could you hear my excitement?
Yeah.
Like,
I can see you. I feel your pain now.
That was going to be my big moment tomorrow, and then someone just goes and wishes it away. All right, cool. Well, don't worry about it, because there's a part... I might take it out now.
Ooh.
Yeah. Apart from that, there's loads of other good songs on the Wonder Years tomorrow from 5 o'clock and some party bangers on Ready for the Weekend from 6, because it's only Blue Friday.
BBC Radio 1. BBC Radio 1 free download.